views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Love to hear from you tonight. Going to touch on a couple of things, but let's open with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air. We just pray that you would bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people to Christ. And again, we just thank you for the opportunity. Use us for your glory, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And let me tell you, it was a lot easier driving into the studio tonight than it was last week at this time. Quite a bit of difference. I was worried that it was going to be a little freezing rain out there, and there was a little bit of a drizzle and off and on a little bit, but not too terribly bad. It was freezing up a little bit here and there, and I think most of the worst spots were where the snow was melting off, like in my driveway, and the snow was pressed down, and it was icy underneath with water on top of it. And, of course, it's below freezing, so some of that stuff's starting to freeze over, but a lot different than the wind and the snow that we had to contend with last week coming in. Of course, for those of you who are driving during this past week, we had some good nights or good days there. I think Wednesday morning, some white-knuckle driving around different places. And then yesterday, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to the Home and Gardens show out at the IX Center. And talk about it, just a gray, foggy sort of day, drizzly sort of day. And then, of course, it was getting cold when we went in. And when we came out, it really had iced over quite a bit. So it was quite a bit of concern what it was going to be like this morning for church. But really wasn't too bad this morning. The temperatures had come back up somewhat, and the roads and things were melting off. So it really wasn't too bad. Excuse me. And we had a spaghetti dinner following our morning service today. We had a really good time fellowship afterwards, and so we enjoyed that. We started that some years ago, our church being a small church. I remember we were talking, you know, a lot of times around Valentine's Day, churches have sweetheart banquets and things like that, and you know, we're a small church. We had some people who were widowed and had some people who did not have somebody in their life at that particular time. We thought, wow, if we have a sweetheart banquet, there's only going to be a couple of people there. So we came up with this idea of just having the spaghetti dinner where everybody could come. You didn't need to bring anybody in particular. If you wanted to, you could, but you didn't need to. And it's just kind of stuck. We've been doing that for quite a number of years. I think we've probably been doing it for over 10 years now, at least, maybe 15. And we just do it every year around Valentine's Day, and it's our annual spaghetti dinner. We have a good time with that and still enjoy the desserts following the evening service. There's usually enough desserts that afterwards we can enjoy them as well. So had a good day today. Really enjoyed that. And we had a visitor with us today that was the first time and some other people. And so we just had a good time of fellowship and really had a good time. Hope you had a good time at church today too. And of course, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find out more about us if you go online to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And pray for my voice. Still, this whatever this stuff going around, feel good, but just a little bit residual from actually almost 2 weeks ago now where I had something. But just a reminder, you can find out more about us, link to our Facebook page, link to our church page, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. All if you just remember livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to past programs there. And if you have trouble listening to us online, just a reminder, you can always go to website for the radio program here, and that's whkwradio.com. And you can listen live to the programming there on the radio, or you can download their app. AM 1220 The Word has an app, a free app for your smartphone, where you can listen on your smartphone. So those are all options there. Or, of course, you're more than welcome to listen to us right here on the air. We certainly enjoy that. Well, our phone number again, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Tom calling in tonight. And, Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello, Pastor. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. I'm going to make it quick. And,
yes, sir.
I don't know what your planned topic is for tonight, but I'm going to bring up something that's kind of bothering me.
Yes.
And just an observation that I've been noticing in recent years. And I'm not talking about differences that we've always known, you know, that, you know, where there was pronounced differences and there was, you know, people were discussing, you know, between Catholic and Protestant and so forth. But what I'm saying is in the evangelical church today, the evangelical church, okay, which takes in a broad spectrum of different denominations or non-denominational people, are you noticing it, or is it just me, where I am seeing such a shift away from fundamental teachings? And what I mean is we are hearing, you know, there's a lot of teaching on radio and on television anymore where we're starting to drift away from the ideas, you know, that, you know, that, you know, of a more works-based idea. They're bringing in works, or we can lose our salvation, or the conflicting ideas about the Sabbath. And I mean, it's getting to the point where it's starting to get nasty at times.
Well, you're right, Tom.
Differences, and it's like it's kind of disturbing to me because, you know, I mean, I get it that, you know, the church throughout the years they've had their differences about doctrine and everything, but, you know, there's fundamental beliefs that that we must believe if we are to follow Christ and be saved.
Oh, absolutely, and this sort of goes in cycles, I think. There's always been attacks upon the gospel message. There's always been efforts to add works or somehow take away from the simple plan of salvation that God gave to us. We were discussing before church tonight a message that was preached by some, well, I guess if you want to say preached, it was where a guy gave lip service to the gospel message, you know, the idea that God loves you and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for our sins, and if you confess your sin, trust Christ as your Savior, he'll forgive you, and you'll be saved. And he kind of said, well, you know, you've seen these tracks, you know, I find them in sometimes in gas stations or restrooms where people leave them, and it gives you this 4 points. And then he sort of says, well, while I don't really disagree with any of those 4 points, you know, as far, you know, and then he goes on to deny it and say that's not real salvation. And yet pretending to be a Christian minister. And this has been with us as long as the church has been around. It really has. Let me give you an example here, and there's a couple things that I'm thinking about here. Go ahead.
I was just going to make one brief point. You know, I'll tell you what, I have focused a lot, you know, the Gospels of Christ, that's enough right there to tell you how to be saved, and it'll also tell you that there's plenty of words of Jesus in there that gives us assurance.
Oh, absolutely.
There just seems a lot of Christians out there. I don't know if it's just human in our human nature where we think we have to add something to the gospel to be saved, or that we could lose our salvation. I don't know where they're getting all this.
Well, let me give you a couple things here. And You know, Paul defined the gospel, and of course he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." In other words, if you don't believe what he preached, you can't get saved. And if they remembered his message and preached that, people could get saved. But if they don't remember his message, people aren't going to get saved. And he says this. He says, this is his definition of the gospel. Paul encapsulates this very clearly here, starting in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures."
Amen.
"And after that," or I'm sorry, "and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time." So what he's saying here is that the gospel that he preached was something that he had received. And in Galatians, he describes how he received it in Galatians 2, verse 1, verse 2, he says, "And I went up by..." I'm in the wrong spot there. It was Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, where he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." And he is saying God revealed this message to him.
Right.
And Paul was somebody who was intimately knowledgeable of the Old Testament scriptures. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a very learned man, very well studied. He studied under the top rabbinical or Pharisaical preachers of the day. He said rabbinical.
He would have known the Torah inside and out.
Oh, absolutely. He would have memorized probably the entire thing. Now, today we look at that. We say, how could somebody memorize the entire Torah? Well, they did it, and some people still do that today. Before we had the printed page, memorization was a skill that was taught, and it is a skill. You can learn to memorize stuff much, much better. There's always these people, you'll see them every once in a while, they give a memory course, and they show you how to, you know, take a walk through your house and remember things or different things like that. They have all kinds of tricks, but there's things that people use, but people devoted their time to developing their memory much more than we do today. And Paul studied at the top teachers of his day, and he was one of the top students. He probably would have been the greatest of the Pharisees had he not gotten saved. And he said that God took him out. He actually says that he went out into Arabia for a while before returning back to Damascus. He didn't go down to or up to Jerusalem and see Peter and James and all of them. Instead, he went out into the desert, basically, and got alone with God. And I'm sure he had the scriptures. If he didn't have the written word, he had it memorized. And he just meditated on the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit working in him helped him to understand and see the gospel and the plan of salvation revealed in the Old Testament scriptures, and brought it out. And he came back and he began teaching that Jesus Christ was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. He was the Christ that died for our sins according to the scriptures. I mean, something as simple as Daniel chapter 9 said that Messiah would come at a certain time, which Jesus did. He met the exact time. He came at the exact time prophesied. And then he would be cut off, but not for himself. Well, he wasn't cut off for himself because he did no sin. He died for us. And
right.
And so he saw all of that, and then that Jesus not only died for our sins according to the scriptures, but that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He didn't just die and stuck in the grave and that was it. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Again, all of this was in accordance with the Torah, in accordance with the scriptures that the Jewish people knew and studied and revered. And then Jesus, after he rose again, was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and the other disciples and even above 500 other people all saw the risen Savior. And then finally on the Damascus Road, he encountered Christ himself, Paul did.
Amen.
And he said, this is the message that I preach. In fact, Galatians is the first book that we believe that Paul wrote. This is his first letter. And he was writing to the churches in Galatia, and he makes this statement here, and this goes right with you what you were talking about people adding to the gospel or taking away from the gospel.
Right.
Paul says this right here in Galatians 1. Remember, this is the first letter he wrote.
He had a lot of trouble with that church, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't have a whole lot of trouble with the churches in Galatia. It was the Corinthian church he had more trouble with.
Right.
Yeah, but these are the churches in Galatia. Galatia is a region that would be today, I guess you would call it Eastern Turkey, Asia Minor. And he says this in Galatians 1, starting verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now that's his very first letter. Let me flip over to his last letter, okay?
Yeah,
his last letter is 2 Timothy.
Okay.
And let me turn over there. So you can see.
It ties in with Revelation, though, too. Where
when
Jesus gives a warning about, you know, towards the end there, it's like.
Right.
That we should not add or subtract anything from, from
exactly.
what the Word of God tells us.
Well, here's the last letter that Paul wrote. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And we're in the last days, clearly.
Oh, I know we are.
Yeah, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And he says this in verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he talks in this line for a little while, and then in verse 13, I'm dropped down because... you know, the time is fast going. I do have another caller.
No, I'm going to let you go.
Oh, that's okay. Let me just give you this part right here real quick, too. And he comes down here in verse 13. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he gives a tremendous statement here, the inspiration of the Bible, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Now let me jump ahead here to the next chapter, and he says this in verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
So we see man's pride entering in, and in their misunderstanding of the scriptures.
Yeah, and you can see Paul, the very first letter he warned about false doctrine, people turning away from the pure gospel message. The last letter he wrote, he warned about false doctrine, people turning away from the pure doctrine and gospel that was revealed in the scriptures. And all his other letters in between warned about the same thing.
Yeah,
and
I just thought it was fascinating, and I thought I'd bring it up because,
you
know, it really is proof that we are really living in the land.
Oh, absolutely, and it makes sense, too, if you think about it. The devil knows that the gospel is a powerful message, And so he wants to destroy it. He wants to he wants to confuse the message. He wants to do what he can to be able to keep people from understanding the gospel message
and being saved. Even amongst people that I truly believe are born again, that maybe do not understand the full understanding. We have to be careful that we're not deceived, because there's some people out there that are really good at deceiving even the elect.
Oh yeah, and the Bible talks about Satan being an angel of light and his ministers looking the same way.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful.
Good deal. Yeah, keep preaching the word, because I know that you're faithful to the word, and we're praying for you too.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Praying for our good ministers, because we all need prayer, don't we?
Amen. We sure do. We need to pray for each other, the Bible says.
Okay. So, God bless.
Thank you, Tom. God bless. Have a good night.
You too.
And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry, who's been patiently waiting as well. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
How are you tonight?
I am well. Thank you for calling.
Good. Good. I was on about a month ago. I'm from London, Ontario.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks again for calling.
Yes, I
have to interject. I'm a terrible emailer, so
that's okay. I'm not much in the emailing myself.
Yeah, I think you had sent me an email about church up there.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. That's another brother from up in Ontario.
His name might have been Jamie.
Yes, that you're right. That's who it was. So.
He's listening in right now too.
Yes, and again, I apologize to him. I get these emails and I get busy with things and I'm a terrible correspondent. I really am.
That's all right. He forgives you and I forgive you, and you were forgiven before you even asked for forgiveness.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Anyway, I was going to mention, if I could bring this up again, I was the last time I was on, I was talking about the Grace Awakening.
About the what?
And it was called the Grace Awakening.
Oh, the Grace Awakening, yes.
And, I came to the understanding, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe in that I was saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
And I was going from church to church, I'm trying to find the Lord Jesus Christ, or trying to find truth is what I was trying to do. And I didn't understand, maybe I was all these years I was missing something that I didn't understand. And when I read this book, it opened up my eyes to see the truth. And it was like the blind man, couldn't see. And then
that was Charles Swindoll, wasn't it? The book?
Swindoll.
Yeah.
Swindoll.
Yeah.
I honestly, if people are seeking the Lord and everything, I honestly recommend this book, because it really opened up my eyes to see the truth, but that we're saved by grace through faith, and he forgives us of all of our sins.
Right.
And all our sins are, cleansed, are cast into the sea of forgetfulness.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I wanted to elaborate on. I called into the last caller, the last person just before you.
Right.
And I was on there for a good 45 minutes.
Oh, you're talking about the previous program.
Yeah, the previous program.
Yes.
And if anybody listening in,
I did not hear the program myself, so.
Yeah. If anybody is listening in still, I made a mistake on something, and that's something I don't want to do. And I was mentioning the fact that the worst thing that you could do is unforgiveness. And maybe I should recorrect that. I think that sin is sin. All sin is sin.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. It's like a chain, if you think about it. You only have to break one link of the chain. So each sin is like a link in the chain.
And, I was saying that it was, the worst sin that a person can do is unbelief. Not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is what I really meant. I said unbelief. I said, I should have said, it's not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, because, Jesus came into this world to save us, not to condemn us.
In fact, Terry, what you're saying about the worst sin being not believing in Jesus Christ, that's exactly what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, in verse number 18 here, where it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." It's the sin of unbelief that sends people to hell. The other sins add to the degree of punishment in hell, but the sin of unbelief, refusing to trust Christ or not trusting Christ as your Savior, not believing in him. In fact, I was going to say, it even repeats that at the end of chapter 3 in verse 36, where it says, "He that loveth the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So it's repeated for us there.
You know, because God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Exactly, and that's really why unbelief is the worst there in that sense, because the key to salvation is believing on Christ. And if you do not believe on Christ, can't be saved.
Yeah, somebody called in and they were talking about something else, but I don't even want to bring that up because I don't think they're right. But anyway, what I was going to say is that, you know, you have eternal life. He says, whoever believes in him has eternal life.
You're right. And Terry, what's the definition of eternal?
Eternal.
Eternal. Without end, right?
Eternal. Without end. Yeah, end. Exactly.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Without end. Everlasting life. What's the definition of everlasting? Well, there it is. Everlasting. So, yeah.
He loves us all, and he wants all those listeners that are listening online, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Terry, we're running up on a hard break here, okay? Want to thank you for calling, and call back again, okay? All right. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening and join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And just a reminder, you can follow us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or on Facebook, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And if you forget that, you can always go to livewithpastoral.com, and you can click on the link to our Facebook page there. Click on the link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. If you were listening over the break, you had some information about the church, and you can visit us. We'd certainly give you an invitation to visit us. Our church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road, and that's right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross on Brecksville Road in Richfield, northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. We meet there every Sunday we have our Bible study, morning Bible study at 10, and it takes us a little while to get rolling. Got to get the coffee made, things like that. But we are currently looking at some Bible apologetics during that time. We just started the latest lesson in that, dealing with creation versus evolution. And then on Sunday morning, our morning worship time is at 11 o'clock, and I am currently preaching through the book of Galatians on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, in the 11 o'clock hour. And then Sunday evening, we have our evening worship service, and on Sunday evening, it's a whole new service, and I am preaching through the book of Psalms right now. We just finished Psalm 138, so you can tell we've been in the Psalms for a while. There's a bunch of them, and when we were in Psalm 119, I think it was 22 stanzas, I think, and we did each stanza individually, so we've been in Psalms for a while, but there's a lot of good meat in the Psalms, and it's been very enjoyable, very, very refreshing as well. So then on Friday night, and because we meet in a hotel, the Wednesday, they're all tied up with people booking the hotel for different things. So we have a Friday night service, and it's an informal Bible study. And we have a number of people who come to that. And the Bible study format is, like I said, it's informal. We have some refreshments. People bring questions. We talk about current events in light of God's Word. We talk about Bible questions, and kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because that's really where this radio program came from. It came out of our Friday night Bible study, and that's why we deal on the radio with current questions about current events in light of God's Word and questions about the Bible itself. So we do that on Friday night. So you're more than welcome to join us there. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Facebook as well. We try to stream some of those on Facebook Live as well. But if you're in the area, we sure invite you to come out and visit us. And just a reminder, a week from today, on Sunday, on Friday, we are going to, instead of be meeting in the regular meeting room, we're going to be meeting across from the front desk. They're in the process of remodeling the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We'll be easy to find on Friday night. But on Sunday, you may have to ask for us. We're going to be up on the third floor in one of the suites up there. It's kind of a challenge, but there's another group that has been meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express longer than we have, and so they have priority over us, and a couple of times a year they use the meeting room that we use. And so this coming Sunday, we will be upstairs in a suite on the third floor. You can ask them at the front desk. They'll direct you how to get to us. But normally, we're in the meeting room, so you can find us there on most times. Well, I wanted to share those things with you. Reminder about East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, our sponsor out there on the east side. They are located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's at East Coast Pizza. Call for pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. Just as a reminder, too, you can find their a link to their website on our page, livewithpastoral.com. So kind of use that as a one-stop where you can go there and link to some of these other things at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we're going to get back to our phone lines. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy calling in tonight. And Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Alan. Thank you for taking my call. I'm always concerned, you know, I go to prayer meeting, a Bible study every Wednesday, and there's always people asking for healing, mm-hmm. but some people that you know personally, they are not eating healthy, they're eating all sorts of high, sugary foods, and they're not exercising, and yet they're asking for prayer for healing. And I don't like to criticize doctors as a whole, but so many of them, all they know is the D&C, the drug and cut.
Yeah.
Prescription drugs and surgery. That's all they know. They don't talk about diet.
Well, thankfully there's some good doctors out there that know better.
Oh, well, there are some good ones. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. But as a whole, I mean, this is all they're taught in medical school is, you know, prescribe another drug and then do surgery if they can possibly talk somebody into it. Is it scriptural if someone asks to pray for healing for a pastor or for somebody individually to sort of drop the hint that, well, we need to eat more healthy and we need to do exercise? Is that scriptural? Or is that just, are you supposed to just take prayer requests and just pray for the person? I was just curious.
You know, that's a good question. And I think I can honestly say, I think you're the first person to ever ask whether it's scriptural or not, to pray for somebody not only for healing, but pray that they might improve their lifestyle, I think is basically what you're asking, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously we want to pray for people who are ill. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Verse 14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." But, you know, the sentence does not end there. You know, a lot of people end that with the verse right there. It ends in a colon. It doesn't end in a period. You know, and if you know a little bit of grammar, and unfortunately they don't teach grammar in school too much anymore, I remember chafing learning grammar when I was going through, grade school, junior high school. And I'm glad that I learned it because it really does help you understand the Bible, doesn't it? And so there's no period here. And this is another argument too in favor of the King James Version of the Bible, because some versions put a period here. But in the King James, there's no period here. He says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, colon." Now, when you see a colon, you know the sentence doesn't end there because the thought has not completed. A sentence is kind of like a little thought, right? It's sort of a complete thought, like Billy threw the ball. You have a complete thought there. There's Billy, the person. There's the action. He threw something, and you see what he threw, a ball. There's a complete thought there. If you just saw Billy threw, well, there's a sub, or there's a sub, there's a, you know, a vowel, or a verb, you know, an action that's there. We know he's doing something, and we know who's doing it, but we don't know what he's doing it to. But when it says Billy threw the ball, we know what he's doing and what he did it to. He threw something. He threw the ball. It's a completed thought. So when there's a colon there, that signifies the thought is not yet complete. And so it goes into the next verse, which is verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, that's an interesting thing. A lot of times when we think about that, we just stop with verse 14. If any sick, let him call for the elder church, let him pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. There, that's what I do. I'm going to pray for this person. He's sick. We'll get the church together. We'll pray over him. Some churches will actually anoint with oil, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what it says right here.
Exactly.
And
it's scriptural.
Yeah, and they'll stop right there. But it says, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick. We should pray for them. The Lord shall raise them up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This implies that there might be something more going on than just the need for a physical healing. There's a problem here. Now, the sin could be that somebody is in rebellion against God and God's chastening them. And this illness is to get their attention. But hey, here's the thing. If your sin is the sin of gluttony, let's say. Isn't gluttony a sin? I mean, it's in the Bible. Gluttony's
absolutely
a sin. In fact, the Catholic Church ranks gluttony. I'm not promoting the Catholic Church, but doesn't the Catholic Church rank gluttony as one of the seven deadly sins?
Yes.
Okay.
They do.
Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to be trim and fit. And as a pastor, it's hard. You know, when you're invited to eat with people and you have things, we have a spaghetti dinner at the church and, you know, there's food provided and you know, you spend a lot of time sitting, you spend a lot of time reading, you spend a lot of time not being as mobile as perhaps you should be. And
exactly,
unless you're like your pastor, blessed with genes that keep you skinny. My dad was that way. My dad could eat anything you set in front of him and come back for more, and he never gained weight. When he was 80 years old, he could fit into the jacket that he was married in. I hate to say it, I cannot fit into the jacket that I was married in. I cannot do it.
Pictures of your father. Yeah, he was very
You've met my father because you've been out to our church for a few things, and he was a slender man.
Photographs you put on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not get those genes. I got it from my mom's side of the family. You know, they talk about how some people have the genes to be the person to survive the famine. You know, that's the people who put on weight quick. And it doesn't go away right away. I'm designed to survive a famine. Some people, like my dad, have the genes that when things are, you know, when they need somebody to go hunt and to be able to get out and move around quickly, you know, he got that. My younger brother got that. I mean, he eat, and he doesn't gain weight either. He's like my dad. But I didn't get that. I'm the guy. I'm the designated famine survivor, I think, in my family. But, you know, here's the thing. I recognize, you know, the danger in terms of not getting the exercise that I should. I try to make a comprehensive effort to get up and move around. I know I eat a lot of stuff that maybe I shouldn't eat, but I try to eat other stuff that I should eat, try to balance it out, try to have some sense. And here's the thing. If I was to walk out in the street and stand in front of an oncoming truck and say, "Lord, heal me from this brokenness," you know, that's kind of silly. Wouldn't it make more sense to stop standing out in the traffic in front of oncoming vehicles? And so a number of the things that we have, we're our own worst enemy. And there are things that God created to help us. You know, it's just like there's foods that you can eat. I've been doing that thing with the apple cider vinegar. I don't know that it's helping
me
lose any weight or anything, but you get
that,
the unfiltered raw apple cider vinegar and with the sediment and the mother and all that stuff in there, and it's very good for
apple
you.
Apple cider vinegar. It's
yeah,
good
and,
for, you know, if you read the book on that, it'll cure any illness you have. I mean, they list about 100 of them.
Yeah, and it does help. It does help. But
no,
basically,
does,
the idea is you're putting good stuff into your body in order to help your body have the materials. It'd be like if you had a car and you never changed the oil. You know, every once in a while, you might tip another can of oil in it, but you never change it. That oil's getting filthy, mm-hmm. isn't it? It's got to be changed periodically. Mm-hmm. And it would be like you put dirty gas into the gas tank and you didn't have a filter and it's getting all clogged up and gunky. And, mm-hmm. you know, and you're not taking care of it and it gets run down. And that can happen to us. And I'm not saying everybody's got to be out at the gym, you know, 8 days a week. You know, you got to have time to mm-hmm. do some other things in your life. But mm-hmm. we can try to eat better. And we can try mm-hmm. to get a little exercise. I mean, I did something mm-hmm. as simple. My cell phone has one of those apps, you know, where it counts your steps. I didn't know how many steps I was doing. You know, I spend a lot of time sitting and reading and working on the computer. I was shocked mm-hmm. when I learned how few steps I was doing in the course of the day. And because of that, that got me on my feet periodically trying to get steps. You know, those are things you can do to help improve yourself. Like you mm-hmm. said, things that you eat, improve your diet. You don't have to eat 100% organic, eat granola and all this sort of stuff all mm-hmm. the time. In fact, granola is not usually one of the best things for you either.
Granola has a lot of sugar and fat.
Yeah. But, you know, you can do things. We talked about the cider vinegar. My wife and I make kefir. I don't know if you've ever heard of kefir. But
yes,
kefir is a fermented, sounds good. Pastor Al's talking about fermented drinks on the radio. No, kefir is kind of related to yogurt. It's kind of like that. It's the culture, they call them kefir grains. You put it in the milk, it's better for you than yogurt. I've made my own yogurt, and that's good for you. I mean, it's really, especially, you know, people have the flu, a lot of stuff going around, or people take antibiotics.
It has the acidophilus probiotics.
Well, kefir's got more probiotics than yogurt. It's much mm-hmm. better for you, and it's easier to make.
I did hear that, yeah.
You know, if mm-hmm. you've ever made yogurt, you know, you've got to sterilize everything and be really clean mm-hmm. so that you don't get it messed up. Well, kefir, mm-hmm. let me tell you how I can tell you how to do kefir in just a couple of moments. You have a jar and a clean jar. You start with a clean jar. You put the kefir grains in it. It looks kind of like mm-hmm. Cottage cheese. You put it in there, and then I use a pint jar. You take your jug of milk out of the refrigerator, okay? It can be mm-hmm. cow's milk. It can be goat's milk. It can be organic milk. It can be whole milk. It can be skim milk. It can't be lactose free because the bacteria in kefir eat the lactose. That's what they eat. Somebody who's lactose intolerant can drink kefir because lactose has been eaten by the bacteria. And the bacteria, you take the milk out of the refrigerator, you pour it into the jar up to, you know, almost full. You got to leave some room in there for a little expansion and breathing. And you mm-hmm. take a lid, put it on there loosely, you set it on the shelf out of direct sunlight, and you come back the next day and you open it up and you strain it out, and the kefir grains are in the strainer, and you put them back in the jar. You don't even have to rinse the jar out again. You put the kefir grains back mm-hmm. in the jar. The stuff you strained out, that's the stuff you drink, and you pour more milk on the kefir grains, and you put the lid back on and do the whole thing again the next day. Now, the stuff that you're drinking is filled with probiotics. It's filled with all kinds of active bacteria that are extremely good for your digestive system, and it's stuff mm-hmm. that God created. And you can put good stuff into your system that God created for your mm-hmm. benefit. And there's a lot of stuff that you can do. Mm-hmm. There's another thing. I didn't really plan on this being Pastor Al's homeopathic hour tonight, but but there's another thing called golden paste. In fact, I should put this on my website or on Facebook because mm-hmm. I cobbled together some recipes for golden paste. Golden paste is made with turmeric, which is one of the most healthy things that God has created, and it's a root. It looks kind of like ginger root. You know, if you've ever seen a ginger root in the store, turmeric.
I bought it. Yeah. I sometimes put it in my green smoothie, you know.
Right.
With my Vitamix. Yeah.
Well, you know, you can get the turmeric in a powder. It's that bright yellow powder. It's what gives yellow mustard mm-hmm. its color.
Yeah, you know what? Somebody just gave me some tonight. It was, what a coincidence.
You take the turmeric, and I won't go through everything, but it's got basically turmeric and cinnamon and a little bit of, I think, nutmeg and cardamom. And freshly ground black pepper, and there's some things in black pepper that act kind of like a catalyst for your system to help you metabolize the good things that's in the cinnamon and the turmeric. And then you mix it up with some water, and you heat it a little bit, don't boil it, and it makes sort of a paste, and then you dissolve coconut oil in it. And cold-pressed
coconut oil.
And it makes a nice paste.
Time, yeah.
And it gives your body so many things. I had plantar fasciitis in my foot really bad. And since taking the golden paste, it's gone away. It's amazing. And this is all stuff that God created for our benefit. Remember, I'm going to have to put this recipe now that I'm talking about. I'll have to put this on our website. But in way back in Genesis, I know we're quickly running out of time here. Way back in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God gave us all these plants and these animals to eat, or not animals at the time. It was plants originally to eat, and
that
things
Genesis
that were for our healing and benefit. What's that?
Wasn't that Genesis 1:29?
1:29 is where he said, I gave you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Now, there's another passage there. That's not the one I'm looking for where it talks about being healthy for help you for your health and all that. But don't have time to look for that right now. We just got a couple of minutes left. Excuse me. But, you know, the amazing thing is that stuff really does a wonderful job. You know, when it's cold and flu season, you can get some elder flowers, you know, the elderberries that you find. And you get there's places where you can get elder flowers, and you brew up a tea, especially if you add a little bit of lemon balm and some peppermint or something in there. And it's excellent to help your body ward off colds and flus. And in fact, John Hopkins Medical School studied elder flower, and I think they studied lemon balm too, but I know they studied elder flower. I remember reading an article on it that they had put out, and they found that it has definite benefits in terms of reducing your risk of catching the flu and reducing the severity of your flu-like symptoms. A couple of weeks ago, when I was feeling like I was coming down with something, I started making this tea and drinking it, and I think it helped keep me from getting sicker than I did. I didn't get near as bad as I was afraid that I might. But what these things are doing is, When you're putting good things in your body that God created, and when you're trying to get some exercise, you don't have to be exercising 25 hours a day, you know, getting your heart rate up to 200 beats a minute all the time and all that kind of strenuous stuff. Even if all you do is walk for 5 or 10 minutes a day, if you haven't been walking before,
it's
going to be a start. And something that I'm notoriously bad about, not getting enough sleep. I'm not going to go to bed tonight probably till about 2:30, and then I'm going to get up about 6:30. That's not or 7 o'clock or something. And that's not now after my wife goes to work. I might be have a time to get a nap or something before I continue with some stuff the rest of the day. But still, I need to work on getting more sleep. God designed us that we need a certain amount of sleep for our body to recuperate and all. See, when we do not take care of the body that God gave us, we're going to have a certain amount of sickness. And so sometimes when we pray for people, and we only got about a minute left, when we pray for people for healing, not only do we want to see what they're suffering from right now get healed, but it would sure be nice if they would get serious about their health in the long term and begin to develop some healthier habits, some healthier eating habits, a little bit of exercise, a little better rest, and start to take care of the body that God gave them so that we can use it for a longer period of time. And, you know, I try to do that, and everybody's going to have their problems. There's going to be some things that people are more prone to than others, but we all have to work at it and allow God to help us and be willing to allow him to help us. And we should pray for each other. Hey, Nancy, we're out of time. I want to thank you for bringing that up. Got 5 seconds. Want to thank everybody for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.